Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to you.
I wanted to grab that guitar and sing to you, and I didn't think it'd hurt you much worse than some of the other musicians. Since it's getting late and you're kind of tired, you won't judge it so severely. If you let me do it now, you won't have to face it again. This meeting's been different anyway. Have you ever been to anything like this? Yes, last year. Where? Here. Oh, okay, yeah. What did I say? Whose is that? It was real hard to wait this long to lose. I didn't want to lose very many people to at least halfway through. Would you help me? I wanted to do this, and I know he didn't mind, so I thought tonight would be a good night.
I could probably get you for it.
Okay. What's that, an extra sound amplifier?
Yeah. Makes me play better.
Oh.
Ow.
Boy, you have to have fat fingers. I don't care if I can play or not. Hey, that's all right. I don't sing much better than that, so I'm going to make it. So besides, I didn't have to worry about you getting a word. You got that already. I don't see how you can play this when you can't see that hand. Oh. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes on Jesus all the time. I keep the ends out for the word that binds, because he's mine. I sing these lines. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself on my knees and each day is through. What I receive from him, I know will see me through. Because he's mine, I sing these lines. Ready for this? I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself on my knees and each day is through. What I receive from him, I know will see me through. My fingers are done. I sent this to. You got a girl's guitar or something? Thank you. Oh, no, seriously, folks. Seriously, thank you very much. I'll be done in a little bit. It's been a long time since I looked.
Trends.
Yeah. 60 seconds ago and they're still stuck out. What's this have to do with religion and life and stuff like that? Well, it was a rewrote song about the gospel. Yeah. And I'd rather sit in a service like this, be happy and laugh and hear the word and scriptures quoted, than being real solemn on the wrong doctrine. Yeah, religion's crazy. You know, one religion will say, I want to really draw close to God. What can I do to draw close to God? He says, well, go up and lock yourself in a monastery and hold up and shut up. Take a vow of silence. Well, I want to get along the way, you know. I want to find out more about God. They told me to go somewhere, take a vow of silence and don't say anything. You talk to another somebody, usually they're on the ball kind of, they'll say, go up and pray in the Holy Spirit and worship God. Speak His Word and you'll find out He'll get something done for you. Then you go to another one in authority. He says, well, you just lock yourself, you hold up and you shut up. I mean, you don't say nothing? That's right, you can't say nothing. Why? Well, you're doing it before God. God probably tricked some of them into doing it so He could have some rest. Hallelujah, Jesus. You can't believe the funny things I've run into in the ministry. You wouldn't be able to believe some of it. So there's no use telling you, because then I'd have to stop you laughing. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah, I get a kick out of you. You have to confess your sins and stuff. And I don't know who he tells about them. But I thank God for any good any religion did. Whatever good. Thank God for it. Hallelujah, Jesus. But then when you have the understanding of the Word that was put forth by Jesus, handed off to the apostles, and under their teachings, boy, you have got a hold of something. So what did the people do, religious people, to get rid of that error? They say, oh, healing passed away with the apostles. I said, oh, it did? Yes, we're very sure of that. I said, how do you think that worked? Did they have like a prayer line and all the apostles was there? The 12 apostles? And they were having a prayer line and there's 12 lines. And you know, and John was over on the other end. And then on John, on through back. And so they're just praying for people. And this goes on for lots of years and years and things. Then they all got old. John outlived all of them. So John was the last apostle. Now you got to remember, healing passed away with the apostles. Now he's the last one on the planet, and there's these other ones. They're doing a prayer line, and all of a sudden, lay hands on this guy and pray, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. I'm not. I said, leave pain. I'm not going to. Oh, well, get out of the line. Hallelujah. Be healed. I'm not healed. You didn't get healed either? Well, everybody was getting healed. Talk to another apostle. Is yours getting healed? No, they stopped a few minutes ago. How about yours? They stopped. Well, what's wrong with you guys? Be healed.
I didn't feel nothing.
There's something wrong here. Now go over and look at the last apostle that walked with Jesus, John. He's just slumped over like this. Oh, it passed away with the last apostle. John just died. Go home, get out of your line. How does that work? How does that work? Passed away with the apostles. John was the last. He lived a long time. But he's over there now. He's gone home. Let's be healed.
It didn't work.
Well, he passed away, I guess. How funny can we get? What do we do with religion? Well, I really want to get close to God. Oh, go up in the mountains. You know this new prayer language you got? Pray in that and then eat as less as you can and worship God and pray in the Holy Spirit. And you'll see. Oh, you're going to have a time. You'll learn things. You'll get anointed to help other people. It'll be tremendous. But yet you go to somebody else. That's a nice robe you're wearing. I want to get closer to God. Okay. Go up to that cave on the side of that mountain there. Go take a bow of silence and be quiet and don't talk to nobody and do nothing.
And they'll draw me closer to God?
Yes, it will. You mean the other ones that are doing all the lines and stuff? They're not. Religion's funny to tell you how to go in and get more of God. I can remember when I discovered that praying in tongues was a revelation gift. Because when I'd read the Bible, I couldn't understand too much of it. Very good. And I knew he had called me to preach, but I was sure he made a mistake. I couldn't give it. I took the D's and English because I couldn't even answer it from the floor. What do you say, Brother Roberson? Brother Roberson, what do you say, Mr. Roberson? Did you hear me? So when he called me, I was sure he made a mistake. Why would he call me? I'll never, ever forget the steps he took. The steps he took with me. I got so high, I felt like I could float away. I didn't think anybody could love me more than he did when he first broke me out. It started freeing me from that, which I didn't know that the praying in tongues I was doing wouldn't have left me that way eventually. Because it's edifying me into everything he said is for me, that is coming, that is mine, and part of my call. What do you think praying in tongues does? You can't do it habitually for any time, and things will begin to change. Yeah, but I'm a hard one to change. Then he'll sneak up on you from three sides, throw a headlock on you, show you how good it is. You'll have to stop praying or go on down that road to success. Yes. I love the way they talk. Jesus even says, He, the Holy Spirit, shall receive of mine and shew it unto you. Isn't that incredible? Jesus said, He will receive of mine all the revelation knowledge I have for you, who I am for you and all that, and He will reveal that to you. Why would I provide everything for you on the cross without having a path where you can put one foot in front of the other and walk up there and get everything that He has for you? See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. See? So when I prayed my way to that place where enough fear was melting away that I could Then I went with a brother Wickham to catch for him. And then he was going to Salem, Oregon, and I was up in the mountains above Eugene. So it was a 70-mile ride or so. And so the guy that goes and catches for him asked me, "You want to go along too? We could use some help in this." And I said, "Sure." I got excited about it. Now that's the preacher I helped when he prayed for that one woman that was about 500 to 600 pounds. And she fell on me and my little hands and feet were sticking out and they had to rescue me. Should have got out of the way, you know. Could have been a man, but it wasn't at that time. So we went with him to minister, and I was just thank God because I walked off my job and have nothing, and now I got to go up there, and I'm going, "Wow, I'm sure glad I come to help, man. This is great." We caught for him; he's teaching away, and all that. And all of a sudden, this guy that was helping him hands me a note. You don't supposed to, you know, a note. You take it privately and you read it or something. But he handed me a note, and I started to open it up to see what, and I looked and I thought, "Oh my God, this is a check. I think that's one I've seen one before." So I folded it back real quick, put it back in my pocket, found an excuse to go into the bathroom. "Yeah, where's it at? Thank you. Thank you very much. No, seriously. I mean, thank you." $7.36. Wait a minute. 736 dollars 50 years ago. I went, "God." I went back out to him. I said, "Did you accidentally give me this or something? What was this you thought you gave me?" And he said, "No, I gave you that. God told me to." "That's 736. He said, "I know it. I made a mistake that night. When I got home, I woke Rosalie and showed her, and there wasn't any more sleep." I had to put my hand down in my pocket and feel of it. I mean, yep, still there. Then I went to the bank. It was on the other side of the river, and I went over the bridge. And I got in the bank and I said, "How do I cash this?" He looked at it and he says, "You got an account here?" And I thought, "What? Do you have an account here?" "Oh, I mean, do I use this bank?" I said, "Yeah, I go change money here sometime and stuff." "No, do you have money in here, an account?" "Oh, no." He said, "No, cash your check." I said, "How about if I open one?" So I opened the account, cashed it, put it in the bank. Went around, and for 3 months that I was full time, I went and paid off everything. The grocery store I charged at, gasoline, the bills I got behind on. I paid everything off, and I had 100 yet I could give away, and 100 to keep. I tell you what I left with is what he's preaching about. You think he'll meet your needs? Yes, sir. I got to that little bridge with the creek that run on a tributary. I lost it on top of the bridge and just wept and cried. Cried and cried. A glorious presence came, and to tell you the truth, I haven't really ever been too far away from that since. Boldness came to me. And I booked my first meeting that I could go to. My first one where I would have to actually speak and say something. And I booked it because I knew that he pushed me that far. It's now or never. I'm going to make it.
I heard this on your tapes.
Well, they're CDs now. So. I was hiding in the kitchen. It's that one. That serving counter at Woodman Workers Hall where they haven't had food and stuff. And it's one of those kind you kind of slide up and peek out under it and close it back down. And that kid was out there with his guitar. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Now all 9, 10, or 11 of them was singing along. There's power, wonder-working power. You know. And I'd peek out, he would look and see if I was back there, and I'd play and get, there is power, power, peekaboo, power, power, peekaboo, power, power. Finally I says, it's now or never. Listen, if he can use me, there's great hope for you. I go, a little bitty plastic mic about that long with two reel-to-reel sevenths for a little amplifying thing, you know. Am I clear? That's pretty good. I could sing better than that, but anyway. So I reached over and I got that plastic thing out. And I started to try to talk. He's a Baptist. I memorized Kenneth Hagin's message, young Baptist boy in a bed of affliction. He was on bed. Sick. Yeah. Yeah. About that time a woman broke out of the massive crowd, 9 people or something. She come running up and she says, I need prayer, sonny. I said, you do?
Yeah, I need prayer, sonny.
I said, you do? So I said, what do you need?
My ear's deaf.
I said, what?
My ear's deaf. Shh.
I looked at the crowd and I looked at her. And I wanted to be quiet about it because I wasn't going to tell them. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. But then I thought, well, I'll test. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I told you no, sonny.
Okay. Here. Open.
Open in Jesus' name.
And just said, you can?
I can hear you. I can hear you.
You should have seen. The whole thing broke off of me right there. You can hear me?
I can hear you.
She was deaf.
I
prayed for her. And she got healed. Show them.
I feel like I'm alive and really blue.
See? Anybody else? Bring them up. He left healing other things. I walked home with much more than the miracles, the knowledge of them. I walked home with much, much more than that. It was a boldness. The next one that got healed was just scared about two Sundays out of me. Because she's laying on the floor, or needed prayer. It was set for that or whatever. And I said, what's wrong? I asked him, what's wrong with her? And he said,
she's blind.
Oh, I see. So I got down, and I don't know why we do this. Her eyes were... I don't know why we have to inspect what we're going to pray for we go. In Jesus' name. I think you're just looking to see how much faith you have to muster up. She's laying on her back, and she knew I was just talking to her, that I would pray for her. So I got closer, and I don't know why I did that either. Got closer. I was trying to see what was wrong with the eyes. I'm coming over here. I'm looking at them, and I was looking for anything to see why they'd be blind. She's just laying there. So I was looking closer. Pretty soon I was about this close, getting ready to pray, you know. And it was right that moment that he chose to open her eyes. How'd you like to be the first thing you seen? What did she do? She screamed. How would you like that? That's the first thing you've seen for a few years. That's it. Somebody looking into your eyes that close while you land on the ground. Ah! Oh, but you want to talk about a happy camper? Those were the early days that I received my launching. And they're really important because... See, I couldn't even give reports in English, anything that had to do with that, communicating publicly. I couldn't do it. Why did he call me? See, I couldn't do it. Yet now sometimes I think him and the crowd wishes that I could shut up a little. No, it... The Methodist Church, and of course I didn't know the difference between them too much. And I had something else planned for you that was, you know, much more down the line of sophisticated. It was a Methodist church. I still don't know their doctrine. But they were having Bible studies, and so I thought that Bible study is a Bible study. Oh yeah, that's what you think. So they asked, well, could you come? And I said, yeah, to prayer meeting, you say? Yeah, in a Bible study. Prayer meeting, Bible study. Really? Okay. All right. And they brought me in. That's when I didn't know, and I talked about this last year, but I don't make them up. He tells me when to say them, when to... Because they're just these little steps, but they're to the whole picture, see? So... Can I say this? I came up, I didn't know what to do, and so there's a woman sitting there and she's in a wheelchair. And so I just went around her and went over on this side and sat down, and they brought me over a cup of coffee. And to them, a prayer meeting was one of them was going to give a speech and the other was going to stand by and help. And that was a prayer meeting or something. He was a golden-tongued orator. Should have heard him with words. Oh, my God. Anyway, I was sitting there and they brought me coffee. Be an ultra-Pentecostal holiness. I was shaking the coffee for excitement. And he's over there going, "We know that God is the great celestial go-between, the troubled waters of mankind, and the omnipotent roar." And I'm going, "Oh God, how do I get out of here?" So I'm just going, I didn't want to drink all of it because I was studying the rings. Out of sheer boredom, I just started staring at her hip. And not real hard. She was 60 or so, and I was only 30. Anyway. I was staring at her hip. I don't know why. But all of a sudden, it transformed right in front of my eyes. And it showed the hip socket, the bone, and the dark area where it was abrasive, where it wore down. And I blinked about 4 times real hard, and it stayed for a second. And I forgot where I was and who was there. I said, "There's something wrong with your right hip in the socket, or left." She says, "Well, that's what the doctor tells me, sonny." I went, "Glory to God." She said, "I beg your pardon." So I did what I saw some other people do. I jumped up and run around and grabbed her feet. I got her feet, put them up like this. And about that time, the golden-tongued orator noticed that there was a commotion going on. So he gets his helper and says, "Go break that up." The feet were about that one short. The socket was all messed up. And I'm going, I've seen somebody do this. I said, "Jesus' name," it went crack. And the guy that's supposed to broke it up got there just in time to see that, and he was going, "Hey." And the orator is winding it up with, "And what's the most outstanding thing you've ever seen God do?" And he's going, "Over here." I'm looking at all this thinking, are we all going crazy or something? Over here. And he tells him, and the main speaker, he goes, "God does not heal anymore." I thought I was going to have to take care of him. But the lady jumped up out of the wheelchair, grabbed her crutches, and she went after him. Running on her hip. She's going to knock him out. I thought, I believe it's time for me to go. I made it outside, and there was a tree. It was just down the street a little ways from the church, and it was big. I leaned over, leaned on it. Broke into tears and just bawled, and I just dreamed of a day like that. I cried, bawled and bawled and cried. The next time I bawled like that, it was at the little river, little bridge over, and I broke down there and cried and bawled and bawled and bawled, and that's when he brought my life and what I owed and everything up to. What do you think launched you and brought you through all that? I can tell you. the way I could talk myself to staying in. When I walked off my job, I told God, if I pray the hours that I worked, you'll pay me, won't you? If I pray the hours. So I run out of English rather quickly. I love you. I'm praying for the lost. Praying that gets saved and stuff. And I was no spokesman. So I only switched to tongues to survive. I didn't even know if it was legal that I could speak in at any time like that. I didn't know the ins and outs. But I decided to take the chance because I wanted to stay out there. I did not know what the revelation gift it was, what it would work for my life, what it would do. I can't even tell you now all it's done. It would be... Never mind. But Earl Hitson, the old lumberjack, he was a Kenneth Haganite. He introduced me. Kenneth Hagan just come on the radios. He's a Haganite, and he introduced me to that. And I was praying away in those tongues, and I was getting into the Word and paragraphs and parables and were opening up to me, and I didn't know why. I knew I wasn't that smart. So I'd check with Earl. And I didn't know that praying in tongues was bringing forth those understandings. I just thought everybody got them when they looked over them like that. So I ran over to Earl and I says, Earl, can you tell me what this parable means? He goes, I said, how about this? It's this, that, because this was that, and there.
How did you get that?
I said, I don't know. I was just reading the parable a couple of times, and all of a sudden the understanding just stood up in me. He goes, I did not know the praying in tongues and the edification was causing this. I didn't know he was praying my future, then I'd be standing where I am now. You don't have to be all talented and sing real good and new things. You can be ugly and have two telescopes for glasses. Still use. So then it began. And some of the things I can't tell you, and some I can because I promised those people and different things. But how far this went is incredible. I'm not qualified for any of it. But with him I was. You saw the road the book took. You saw the road the praying in tongues took. We've convinced thousands of people because it's right. It's right. This feels like the last night. Did you know it's only 9? I haven't been babbling very long. Where's your ancestors from, Babylonia? I laugh when you say something that's not funny.
It's all the time.
I'm your friend. Hallelujah. Somebody watch my back. It was still okay. I saw something good. What?
Jesus, thank you.
Oh yeah, he's good. If I didn't give him a hard time, he'd go ask everybody, what'd I do? ¿Qué más cliche? Listen, you have pain in yes, sir. You have pain in your body now that hurts you now. I tell you.
Boy, you're going late tonight. Why? You're just going to run over somewhere and talk to somebody another hour or two. That's how you handle public humilities. You fix them funny. You don't go. What? We could make a movie, couldn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
If this was a full-blooded Baptist church that's never been with us, you could go by and their eyes would be out on the end of toothpicks and just harvest them and take them with you. I need some new pupils, anyway. Sound like Norval.
Oh, brother.
You should never dismiss church while somebody's laughing on the floor. And think of explaining to your friends while you're bringing them in for the first time.
Well, you're a little on the kind of silly side. That's a little bit, you know.
I know I am. And since I don't stop me, nobody else can.
Boy, at times I can see that woman when she's blind, and I was looking in her eyes, and she opened them and screamed.
I wonder what it looked like, somebody doing that at first, about 10 years blind or something. Ah! I jumped up in the air about that eye from my knees. Scared me. Then there's a lot of excitement and bawling and stuff like that, you know. I can see. Well, there's no telling what he's going to do these next few days. This has kind of broke some things in. But I think you'll be surprised with the outcome. Real happy.